Amen. Go ahead and have a seat this morning. So originally the plan was I was going to preach from Proverbs 13, 22 to 25. There's so much good stuff in that section of Scripture. I mean, you look at Proverbs 13, 22 to 25, and it's a section about practices for the provision of the family. Verse 22, you talk about being able to leave an inheritance for your children and make sure that you're doing things to set up your children and bless your children in the future. You look at verse 24, an amen, loud amen from a lot of people. He that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Amen. Right? We could have talked about discipline. There we go. I got the amen going on back there. Could have talked about discipline, how it is right to discipline your children, just as God disciplines you, because he loves you. And then talking about how the righteous, when we follow the word of God in verse 25, our needs are always met. That God always delivers on his promises when his people are faithful and true to his word and to his ways. But the Lord kept taking me back to verse 23. And when he kept taking me back to verse 23, I had to read it and read it and read it. Anybody have to do that? You read some of these Proverbs and you're like, hold on, wait, what? And then you had to read it again, and then you had to do some research and read it again and trying to figure out, okay, Lord, why do you keep taking me back to just this passage? Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. Let me give you a little context. Remember, we have Solomon that's writing these Proverbs, and he's writing them as a proverb to the kingdom of Israel. And so, to get a little understanding on this particular proverb, we need to understand that the kingdom of Israel was made up of little plots of land. And each person that was a part of the kingdom of Israel had their own little plots of land. And they worked that land. And that land provided for their family. It also provided for the nation of Israel. Folks, it's important to know and to understand that food for Israel did not come from a few large plots of land, from a few rich individuals that had large patches and large fields, but it came from small patches where every single person in the kingdom did their part. Now those patches, some of them may not have looked good. Some of them the world may have looked at, or a neighbor may have looked at and thought, there's not much that's here, there's not much to work with. But amen, the promises of God are faithful and true. When that patch of land was worked faithfully and it was tilled, the harvest was always plentiful. And it met the needs of the people. Now, I don't know if you know this, but God has chosen to not bless Grace Church with a bunch of millionaires. Did you know that? Now, the joke could be on me. We may have a bunch of millionaires in the congregation, and y'all have just fooled me. All right? Or you're unfaithful. It's one of the two. But I'm pretty sure I know that God has not blessed Grace Church with a bunch of millionaires. But you know what I do know? I know that God has blessed Grace Church with individuals and with families that each and every one of them have a little patch of land that they are called to be faithful to. That they have a small patch of land that they are called to cultivate, to till, and to use for God's glory, for the benefit of his kingdom. I'm glad one person's with me this morning. Some of y'all are still stuck on that millionaire thing. Because we know that when we all do our part for the kingdom, that when we all pool our resources, that when we all have our own personal responsibility in line in the way that God desires, that he will always meet the needs. Here's the problem in today's church. And I'm not just talking Grace Church, I'm talking about big overall church. Here's the problem in today's church. The problem in today's church is that we don't have enough people faithfully tending their own patches of land. Therefore, what's left is you have a few people in the church who have big fields supplying for everybody else when not everybody's faithfully doing the work they're called. And folks, that's never how God intended for Israel. It's never how God intended for his church to operate. Everyone is called to their own faithful tilling of their field. We are all called to make the most of what God has given us. So I want to give you three small thoughts from this passage in Proverbs, this one verse. This one verse that says, much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. Because I think there's some very practical precepts in here as to how we can live wisely in this world to the glory of God and to the benefit of others. Amen? Don't you want to know how to faithfully live your life and manage what God has given you to make a positive investment for the kingdom? Well, if we're going to do that, there's three things in here, and we're going to kind of work backwards in this proverb this morning. The first thing I want you to see in Proverbs 13:23 is the worker's position in the proverb. The worker's position in the proverb. Now, I will give you a disclaimer. We are going to jump to some New Testament passages, so be ready. Is the worker's position in the proverb. Notice it says, much food. Are you following along? Much food is in the tillage of the rich. Oh, it doesn't say rich. What? Much food is in the tillage of the well-off. Much tillage is in, maybe your Bible says, much tillage, or I'm sorry, much food is in the tillage of the what? The poor. The poor. Now, if it said rich, we would think, okay, well, this makes sense, right? There's going to be a lot of food that comes from the work of the rich. There's going to be a lot of resources that come from the work of the rich. But isn't God great at eliminating excuses for all of us to be contributors? Oh, come on, let's be honest. It says, much food is in the tillage of the poor. You see, we got to get ourselves in position first before we can ever contribute. And that position is more a position of a mindset. You got to understand this morning, no matter how many zeros may be in your bank account or how many zeros may not be in your bank account, or if a zero is all there is in your bank account, listen to me, that we're all poor in the sight of God. That we're all poor in the sight of God. And when you have that mindset, it brings about two expectations that the scriptures declare that we need to know if we're going to make the most of what God has given us. The first, go over to Luke chapter 16. Go over to Luke chapter 16, because when you talk about making the most of what God has given you, when you talk about, okay, well, Pastor, I'd love to contribute, but there are many excuses as to why we can't. Luke 16, verses 10 through 12. Because I've heard some people over the years say, well, Pastor, I would love to contribute, but I don't have much. I don't have much. Therefore, while I would love to contribute, I can't. I don't have much. Last I checked, it says, much food is in the tillage of the poor. So if you're telling me you don't have much, you're in good company. You're in good company. Look with me at Luke 16, beginning at verse 10. Jesus says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." I hear the word of God. Do we need to pause for an interpreter? No? Okay. "And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" Like I said, one of the things that I hear a lot is, "Pastor, I'd love to contribute, but I don't have much." Yes, but if you don't have much, it still means you have something. It means God has given you something little. And if you have just a little bit, you have all you need in order to contribute to what God wants you to do. Because God says he's going to start you with the little. He's going to start you with a small amount. And he's going to see if you can handle the little thing. He's going to see if you can handle the small amount. He's going to see if you can take that and be faithful in that. And if you are, he's going to give you more. You see, some of us wonder why God hasn't given us more in our situation. And let's be honest, the answer is because we haven't faithfully managed what God has given us to start with. We look down on it. We don't think it's enough. We compare it with other people's. We think sometimes we deserve more. But the first mindset you need to have in that you are poor is that you have a responsibility to be a servant unto God. God has given you something. I don't care how big it is. I don't care how small it is. He wants you to be faithful in it and not to look down on it. You know, Jesus says here also, he says, folks, how are you ever going to know the spiritual riches that are found if you can't first faithfully manage the earthly riches that he has blessed you with? You getting greater revelation as to God's faithfulness. You getting greater revelation to God's goodness. You getting greater revelation to God's blessings that can be on your life is directly corresponding to being faithful to whatever God has given you to manage. Did you know that? Well, Pastor, how am I supposed to manage? You're supposed to manage it by God's precept. And it's because you see yourself as a servant unto God. Let me try to explain this the best way that I can. And I'm going to do it from a pastoral experience because it's something that I have seen in my own years. I've had people over the years come to me and say, "Pastor, I believe the Lord is calling me into ministry." Amen. Praise the Lord. But folks, when that belief that God is calling you into the ministry is only a feeling, you may be heading down the wrong path. Praise the Lord for a call, amen? But before God will ever elevate you from the pew to the pulpit, he has got to see your faithfulness in the pew before he'll ever put you in the pulpit. Let me put it like this. "Pastor, I feel I'm called to the ministry, but yet they don't serve in the church. Pastor, I feel like I'm called to the ministry, but yet they can't worship each Sunday regularly. Pastor, I feel as if I'm called to the ministry, but they don't know how to serve within the church. Pastor, I feel like I'm called into the ministry, but they don't give like they're supposed to give." Folks, if you want to be elevated, if you want that next step more, you've got to be able to do the things here before you get here. Amen? I know it's a message that might step on some toes. I get it. I know you might be a little more quiet today, so I appreciate the few amens that you do throw. Okay? But it always boggles my mind because a calling into the ministry has to be seen. has to be seen and has to be practiced, right? When you get a position to be a pastor and you've got to be there every Sunday and you've got to lead in those areas, if you can't lead in those in the pew, you're never going to be able to lead in them in the pulpit. Amen, Pastor Jeff. Come on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So let me tell you, if you want to be used by God for something great in your life, listen, because I hear people, Pastor, I want to be used by God to do something great. I wish the Lord would do something great with me. Let me tell you how you can be used by God to do something great in your life. Do something faithful with what God has already blessed you with. Do something faithful with what God has already blessed you with. So the first mindset in the position is the responsibility as a servant of God. The second mindset is a requirement as a steward of God. It's to understand that you have a requirement as a steward of God. Go a couple pages down in your Bible to Luke 19. Luke chapter 19. And right after the conversion and story of Zacchaeus, you get the parable of the 10 pounds. And again, Jesus is speaking here. Because now, listen to me, another thing I hear is, well, hold on, Pastor, this says, much food is in the tillage of the poor. Pastor, I'm not poor. Pastor, I've made well for myself. So this proverb doesn't fit me. Pastor, I've done such good, I've advanced up the ladder, I am well off, I am comfortable, my family is comfortable. Yeah, but you may think you've got everything and you may think you've got all your stuff and you may think you're a big shot, but guess what? It ain't yours. It ain't yours. You're a steward of God. You need to remember that. Look with me at Luke 19. In this passage, you have a noble who calls his 10 servants because the noble is going to go away to be able to bring in the kingdom that he has earned. And as he gets ready to go and get this kingdom and prepare this kingdom, he calls on 10 nobles and he gives each of those 10 nobles 1 pound. He gives them something of value and something of worth to manage. Now, if you see this, you know that this is a symbolism of Christ going off to prepare his kingdom. He leaves us with blessings, and we're supposed to manage it. Now look with me at verse 13. It says, and he called the 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy until I come. Occupy until I come. So each of them has a pound. Each of them have something of value. But notice, he gives it to them. The thing he gave to them is not their own. It comes from the noble. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care what you claim that you have is yours. What you have to you is on loan to you from God Almighty. Whatever you have that is of value actually belongs to God. How do I know this? Because when you take your last breath and you go home, either up or you go down, you can't take it with you. It's on loan to you from God. You are therefore a steward of whatever good things that God has blessed you with. You own nothing. It's been given to you by the noble person. Your time is not yours. Your talent is not yours. Your treasure is not yours. Here's the tough one. Parents, your children, first and foremost, belong to the Lord. They're not yours. They first and foremost belong to the Lord. And it's huge what he tells them in Luke 19, 13. Look at what it says. He gives them the valuable thing. He gives them the pound and he says, occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. What's that mean? It means do business on my behalf until I return. Here's the resource. Here's the valuables. Here's my stuff. Now I want you to take it and do business for me until I return. How many of y'all can say with your time and your talent and your treasure and all the things that God has blessed you with, that you're doing what Christ has told you, that you're using them to make his business succeed and not yours. That's tough because we like to prop up ourselves, right? We like to do, and well, Pastor, that's my money. No, it's not your money. It's been given to you. I remember one of the first real jobs I ever got, my boss. Some of you remember him. It was Mr. Bob Russo. And on the very first day, he said to me, he said, you need to know this and you need to understand this. And I was an impressionable 20-year-old. And he looked at me and he said, I did not hire you for you to be rich. I hired you so I can be rich. It's true, folks. It's in business. You don't get hired by your company for you to get rich. You get hired by a company to make the people who own it rich. It's the same thing in God's will. It's the same thing in what God has given you. You got to have an understanding that you are to work. You are a servant unto God with what he's blessed you with. And when he blesses you with a little bit, he'll bless you with more. And you are a steward of what God has given you. It's not yours. You're to use it for his honor, for his glory. We run into trouble when we start trying to take God's stuff and use it for our honor and for our glory. We got to have that mindset of a worker. We got to have that mindset of the poor in spirit, right? Much food is in the tillage of the poor. Notice, if you go forward in that parable, he's not concerned with how much money you make out of what he's given you. He's not concerned with how much possessions you get out of what he gave you. His biggest concern is if you faithfully managed it. If you faithfully managed it in him. So we see the worker's position first, if we're going to make the most out of what God has given us. The second thing is we need to see the work performed. It says, much food is in the tillage of the poor. Much food is in the tillage of the poor. We focused on the word poor first. Now I want to focus on the middle part. Much food is in the tillage of the poor. So once you got the mindset, now you got to understand the movement that you got to be in. Because it says the tillage. What this means is that there must be a diligent effort that must come from you with what God has entrusted you with. There must be a willingness to work. Notice, anywhere you go in Scripture, it's not enough to just have the blessing that God has given you. It's not just enough to have the valuable things that God has given you, but you're supposed to take it, you're supposed to work it, you're supposed to till it, you're supposed to use it for his honor and for his glory. Can I tell you something else? Notice Scripture here does not say much food is in the complaining of the poor. Does it say that? Much food is in the focusing on somebody else's land of the poor. Or, much food is in the envying of someone else's land of the poor. No, it doesn't say that. You see, ladies and gentlemen, too often what we have in our own lives and what God has blessed us with, and yes, whatever you have in your life right now, God has blessed you with it. Whatever resources you have at your disposal, God has blessed you with it. But all too often, what we have, A, we don't think is enough, and we whine and we complain, or B, we say, how come they have that? I should have that. And we're envious of our brothers or our sisters. Folks, if you're going to make the most of what God has given you, you've got to work his blessing in your life. There is a responsibility on you alone to make something out of and to invest in the gift that God has given you. Whatever gift that may be, you're supposed to use it for his honor and for his glory. You know what that means? It says the tillage of the land. It means that you've got to take that gift and that plot of land that God has given you, and you've got to till the weeds. Amen? It's not fun. It means you got to put blood in it, sweat in it. It means you got to put tears in it. It means you're going to labor for it. 1 Corinthians talks all about laboring and tilling the land and making sure that it's ready, that when God sends the rain and God sends the sun, that you are found faithful in your work, that he can bring forth the growth. But if you don't do the work, and if you don't till the soil, and if you don't plant the seed, ain't nothing going to happen when God sends the wind, or God sends the rain and the sun. Nothing will come forward. You see, Scripture makes it very clear. It calls you as a believer a workman. Did you know that? When it comes to the Bible, boy, you know that this thing is chock full of gold nuggets. Did you know that? Now, are you all following me this morning? You know this is full of gold nuggets, right? But the only way you're ever going to find a gold nugget is if you take time and you mine it. You dig in it, right? You start chewing on it. You start looking things up. You start answering Scripture with Scripture. And the more you get in it, and the more you dig, and the more you work, and the more you till, the more you understand what God has for you, the more comes about in the harvest. You see, ladies and gentlemen, too often we sit and we look at what God has given us and we say, this isn't much. Man, I wish God would have given me more. Or as the unfaithful steward did, the unfaithful steward made excuses to God. The nobleman came back and said, why didn't you invest yours? And you know what he said to him? Well, I know that this is of value to you, Lord. I didn't want to lose it. So I just sat on it because it's so. And the nobleman wasn't very happy about it. In fact, he said, take it away from him. Cast it out. You see, we can't just expect God to make something out of nothing for us. We've got to take what we've been giving and faithfully work at it in order to produce something for the Lord. So that way, when he's ready to bring the sun and he's ready to bring the rain, he can make it grow. Are you working with what you have? Do you find value in what you have? Are you willing to use what you have for the glory of God? Much food is in the tillage of the poor. Last but not least, we see the worker's position, we see the work performed, and we also have the wealth produced. The wealth produced. Look at the scripture again. It says, much food is in the tillage of the poor. Much. Does it say a small amount? Does it say that the poor has their own little piece of land, and even though they're poor, and even though the ground may not be good, that even when they till it, not much is produced? No, it says much food. You see, when we have the right mindset, we have the worker's position, and we actually do the work of a faithful servant, you know what happens? God takes care of us. Go over to Matthew 25 real quick. Matthew 25. What you have here is a parable very similar to what we saw the first time, except there's a couple of differences. In Matthew 25, verses 14 through 28, you have the parable of the talents. And if you would, follow along with me. I'm just going to read down through some of it. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, verse 14, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he had received the 5 talents, went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. So the one with 5 took and invested and made 5 more. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. Same thing. He invested, and he got more. Then he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchange, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Now we would read that last part and think, well, that's unfair. No, the servant was unfaithful. He didn't trust in the Lord. He didn't trust in the Lord's ways. You see, when we're faithful with what God has given us, the example here in this parable, when we're faithful with what God has given us, we will have 2 things that come our way. Number one, we will have earthly reward. Scripture makes it very clear here. We will have earthly reward. Notice each of the people who faithfully managed what God had blessed them with, they received a double portion. They got more than what they started with. Why? Now here's the big part. Because they were willing to go all in with what God has blessed them with. They were willing to work in such a way that they were fully committed unto the cause of what their Lord had given. And because of that, look, I know that can be risky. That can be scary. I mean, my goodness, we in churches, we don't even ask you to give 100%. We only ask you to give 10%, and that's scary. Got quiet. But listen, they went all in their faithfulness, all in their giving, all in their investment, and they were given a double portion. Look, notice, the one with 5 that faithfully invested got 5 more. Notice, the one with 2 that faithfully invested got 2 more. Notice, it's not about the return. Amen? The one with 5 was blessed with 5 more. The one with 2 is the same principle. God's not looking for you to turn a profit. God's looking for you to be faithful with whatever he's blessed you with. He wants you to work at it. He wants you to sacrifice with it. He wants you to invest in it. He did the same for 5 as with the 2, but not so with the 1. The 1 wasn't willing to give it away. The one said, no, I don't want to share it with anyone. I'm going to sit on it. I'm going to dig a hole and I'm going to keep it for myself. I'm not going to share it with anyone because maybe he had a vast experience where he shared it with someone before and he got hurt. Or maybe he shared the blessing that God had given him and they didn't receive it. Or maybe he shared the blessing and someone took it and stomped on it. And he says, you know what? My past hurt and the past things that I've experienced will prevent me when the Lord gives me a future blessing. I'm just going to keep it to myself now. The Lord says, that's not what I've asked you to do. You know when you keep that blessing to yourself, what you're doing? You know what you're saying? I'm trusting in myself to provide. I'm trusting in my own work to provide, not to go forth and do the work of God and trusting that he will provide. Because when you're faithful to him, you know what I love in that passage in Malachi, and I know it gets overused in preaching for tithing and stuff like that, but I love when it says, test me, says the Lord. You know that God threw down a challenge to you when it comes to giving? Did you know that? Faithful giving. He threw a challenge down to you. He says, test me in this. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Test me. Have you ever known God to not come through on a promise? Last I checked, everything that he's ever declared, that he's ever prophesied, that he has ever said will come about and will come true, he's batting 1,000. And he says the same thing in the things that we find our comfort, we find our identity in, that we find our comfort in. He says, test me. Bring the whole tithe to the storehouse and see that I won't throw open the blessings. Watch what I'll do. Some of y'all don't want to take him up on that test. Some of y'all don't want to take him up. You're like, no, you know what, Gord? I'm fine in trusting in myself. I'm fine in making sure that I'm covered. I'm fine with not having the abundant blessing so I can bless others. I'm fine with it. I'm just going to take care of myself, and I'm not going to trust you in your ways. Might have gotten a little off track here, but oh well. Because here's the thing. When you trust in him, when you have the worker's position, when you do the faithful work, God will reward you on earth. It may not always be the best of things, but what my wife and I have found out over the years, that we have faithfully given unto the Lord and faithfully worked with whatever God has thrown our way, we might not have everything that we want, but we have everything that we need. Every time. Every time. But here's the better part. There's a wealth that's produced. Much food is in the tillage of the poor. While you may never see an earthly reward, and I'm going to be honest with you, you may not see an earthly reward. There is an eternal recognition. You know what those first two servants that faithfully did the work got? They got to hear these words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Can I tell you, the eternal recognition always outdoes the earthly reward. Because while you may have the worker's position, while you may perform the faithful work, you may never see an earthly result. You may never, following God's ways, get the promotion, have the nicest car, have the biggest bank account. You may never have all the things that maybe even the wicked have, or that you think you should have, or that your neighbor has. God sees fit to give you what he has. But you know what? When you go home to glory one day, when you stand before the Lord who gave you the things that he knew you needed to do the things he's called you to do, and you have faithfully executed it, you will hear those words that will make it all worth the while. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Because you don't do it for the applause of man. You don't do it for the recognition and the titles here on earth. You don't do it for the status and authority that the earth can give you. You do it for the King because you faithfully trust him. And when he gives you those words, he tells you, you faithfully executed. That's what we should be looking for. That's the wealth that's produced. And I don't have time for the other part of the proverb. I wasn't going to even talk about the other part of the proverb, but here's why. Real quick, look at it. It says, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. But there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. What's that whole entire second part mean? It means that you can, listen to me. This is important. You can be faithful. You can have the mindset that I'm a servant of God and a steward of God. You can faithfully perform the work that God has for you. You can execute it to a T. You can see the hand of God on your work. You may see the blessings that come about. But what's Scripture say? The love of money is the root of all evil. You know what oftentimes kills our faithfulness? Our own perceived success. We start seeing the blessings roll in and we forgot the almighty hand of God. And we somehow think that we have produced what has come about. And you know what that then leads to? It talks about it in the second part of that proverb, that we then, once we have accumulated that earthly wealth, we don't faithfully execute it the way that we need to, and we squander it. We waste it on the things of this world rather than on the things of God. Folks, oh, by the way, there's a double meaning to it. Some people think it's us making the bad choices and decisions. There is a group of people who also think that the proverb points to that when you are blessed by God, the enemy will then come in and try to steal it and swoop. Or higher ups in the kingdom will come in and try to steal it away from you and take it, and you're left down. Folks, whatever it may be, whether it's squandering by bad decisions or whether it's taking away, listen to me. If you have the eternal understanding that you're doing this for eternal recognition, to hear those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," you won't be disappointed either way. That's why I wanted to share that last part of the proverb. It won't matter. One, if you made the bad decisions, it will lead to repentance and you'll do better the next time. And if it is taken away from you, guess what? The Lord doesn't forsake his own. He'll find some way to bless you and to take care of you. Continue to be faithful. As the worship team comes back up to lead us in a final song today, I pray that what I've shared with you has made some sense, because sometimes it doesn't even make sense to me. Like I said, I was planning on preaching four verses, and the Lord kept narrowing it down and narrowing it down and narrowing it down. I got a text earlier in the week from Amanda asking, "How are you going to end?" And it's like Thursday. I'm like, "I don't know yet." But I trust the Lord will provide you with the song that you need, because he kept moving it down and moving it down and moving it down. So I pray that this in some way has been a help to you this morning. But folks, let me ask you, have you made the most of what God has given you in this life? Each and every one of us have been blessed with something. Whether you think it's big or whether you think it's small, you've been blessed with something. God has entrusted you with something. And you're called to use that, right? It's like that dirty wash rag, right? That wash rag that's full of water. You can take that wash rag and you can wring it and you can wring it and you can wring it and you can wring it. And no matter how much you wring it, you can always at least get one little drop out of it. Ladies and gentlemen, that is what it's supposed to be like when you till your land of what God has blessed you with. You're supposed to work it and 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 at least squeeze one little drop of water to give somebody life in the name of Jesus. Have you been found faithful in what God has trusted you with? Have you been tending your time? Have you been tending your talent? Have you been tending your treasure? Because in the end, folks, can I tell you something? God didn't have to give you anything. God didn't have to entrust you with anything. Praise the Lord, he made the provision for you to be saved. Praise the Lord, he sent his son to die on a cross for your sins. Praise the Lord that he rose from the grave, that he beat death and hell, and that by you putting your faith and trust in him, that he did all the work. You're covered by the blood. Praise the Lord, he has done that for you. And you can rest in that. Listen to me, he didn't have to do anything else. But yet he still entrusted you with something. He gave you so many resources. He gave you so many talents. He gave you friendships. He gave you children. He gave you all kinds of things to be a blessing and to invest in the kingdom. Are you making the most of what God has given you? Or do you sit back and whine and complain and wonder what if, or even worse, like the unfaithful servant, make excuses. Lord, in a lot of ways, what that unfaithful servant, he said, Lord, this is your fault. This is your fault. I pray that we would never be found guilty of making excuses for doing the work that God has called us to do and investing in his kingdom. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me?